This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
New York public housing tenants feel hung out to dry in wake of Sandy. When Hurricane Sandy slammed New York City, tens of thousands of public housing tenants were left without power, heat, and running water. Elderly and disabled residents were trapped on the upper floors of the developments, oftentimes lacking food and water and life essential medical needs. Weeks after the wind roared and the waters surged, the voices of New York City Housing Authority NYCHA tenants continued to be drowned out. Amidst the complacency of NYCHA, there are still unresolved issues and conditions. When NYCHA management finally met with the tenants, long after Sandy came and went, it was greeted by the pained and angry protestation of the tenants due to its failure to show concern for, response to, and accountability for the horrible conditions that many still endure.
The chorus of residents decried NYCHA's response to refusing immediate rent abatements to compensate them for their suffering and losses during and in the aftermath of the hurricane. Chanting no services, no rent, many of the residents left the meeting in disgust to reconvene later, formulate demands, and plan to take their complaints to NYCHA headquarters. Now, to the meeting.
My name is Wally Bateson. I've lived in this community for 55 years, you know, so a long time. So my concern was basically, 2 weeks we understand, communication, miscommunication. You know, you guys wasn't, you know, we knew you wasn't prepared for this. Nobody was. But after the third week, residents were, we were all angry, lack of communication. We were completely in the dark. Not literally. We were literally in the dark, but we were completely in the dark. That's very concerning. Also, you know, we're going to have these pets, these little creatures, these mice. We're going to need exterminators in all of the buildings, you know. And also, do you have a comprehensive plan for the next time? Because you know this ain't going to be the last time. And for those that don't want to leave, that couldn't leave, like it was 121 residents stuck, senior citizens stuck in the high rises that nobody got to until at least 2 or 3 weeks. Now you guys got a data bank, and you know the senior citizens, all you have to do is go through your data bank, they should have been first priority. You know what I mean? So you're gonna have to work this a little better, out of line. Residents, administration, police, everybody else.
I agree. I understand your frustration. I guess I'd like to just comment on a couple of things. So on the exterminators, no problem. We'll make sure that happens. Okay? So I got that. On the seniors and the mobility impaired, right? So we actually did, right before the storm, go through and connect with all of them and offer assistance for relocation. And right after the storm, as well, offering assistance, water, et cetera, and offering relocation. Actually, after the storm, some people did it.
Hi, my name is Marilyn Mielis. I'm born and raised in this community. First and foremost, where were you and the NYCHA staff the day after? No one was there. No one. The first person I saw the next day was our local judge, Judge Calabresi. Days later, the National Guard, and days after that, the pumps. Why weren't they working 24 hours a day? That's my question. We sat in freezing conditions, in the dark, senior citizens, 14 stories up by themselves, up in dark staircases, in feces, in urine, by themselves, women and children. Where was that? That's my question.
The day after the storm, the damage assessment teams were out at all the facilities trying to assess. Sorry, but you can't be in every place at one time. So we were here assessing the situation the day after the storm, and we had to figure out what resources were required and what the issues were to address the storm. That's what we were doing the day after the storm. The assessments of the buildings which were done determined we did not have red tag buildings. Structurally, our buildings held up fine, and there are no buildings.
When that snow came down, I lost my bedroom.
Those doors. We were feeding people. We were resources of your level. How can we create millions of meals within 2 weeks? How can we coordinate with FEMA to get light everybody? How is it that one little person standing in front of you right now was able to coordinate thousands and thousands of flashlights to come in before you could show your face on this record? Because it was the thousands of volunteers and the people in this community that were knocking on each other's doors.
Good evening. My name is Ulysses Bermudez. I am also a resident of Rental Houses West for 57 years. My family, okay? I'm going to say to you guys right now, you guys talk with forked tongues. You guys shake up and tell stories that are not even true. Your main boss, Mr. Bloomberg, deserted Red Hook. He didn't care about Red Hook. And you did the same thing too. Furthermore, what was going on with the projects was pathetic. I mean, stinking, smelly, rakes, holdups, and where was IHL? Or the police department? Nowhere to be seen. You said that after the storm that you came right away. No, you didn't, because you didn't show up for almost five to seven days. And you know something? It was the people of Red Hook who came around to other people's apartments, looking in their apartments, searching for somebody to help and doing everything that they have to do. So you know something? The $1.2 billion you got, you better start using that money the right way.
Now, when it came to October 28th, which was on a Sunday, that was the last time I seen housing. They said we're shutting down the elevator and the hot water. I did not see no NYCHA worker until the other day when they had the nerve to ask me if I wanted to evacuate. The storm didn't happen now. The storm happened more than 2 weeks ago. There's no need for it. And then the other thing is the hearsay of right credit for January. The storm didn't happen in January. It happened now. When the majority of us have kids, we have to take care of our own. We were our own support team in this neighborhood because no NYCHA worker came out to see if we were okay. No NYCHA worker said, listen, you're disabled or you're elderly, let's help you up a flight of stairs or let's help you with your things. Where was NYCHA? Even now, NYCHA's out there, I see them talking all day and I'm out my window every day. There's no hope because NYCHA doesn't hold on their end. We're our own hope because we stood by each other since the day of the storm. We prepared together as one. Then to be neglected like that, there was no need for it because at the end, we have to explain to our kids why we're not getting the necessities we need and then why we still have to pay rent for things that we didn't even have. We suffered, and that's something no resident should have. I overheard that, oh, we care for our tenants, we care for this, we care for that. I didn't see not one NYCHA person to care for. We had the volunteers here, the lady here, Ms. Kirby, and a couple of other people that brought us our meals. They bought programs for our kids when they didn't have nothing instead of staying in the dark for more than 16 hours a day. FEMA didn't come to my block until the next day when I saw them to put an emergency light. It's pitch black over there. 9-year-old girl walking down the block almost got raped because there was no light. They said, NYCHA's not doing nothing about it. I'm not NYCHA, I'm a resident. I don't care about just my child, I care about everybody else's because we're a community, and if yous aren't looking out for us, we have to look out for ourselves. That's all I have to say because this is disturbing and it's not called for. So for this rent credit, honestly, it's a bunch of BS for me for January because it didn't happen then. We're facing it now and we're still paying for it. That's how I see it. So something has to get done. It's not acceptable at all.
My name is Stephanie McNeil Dalton, and I would like to address the issues of people coming out. See, I've been a diabetic for over 50 years. No one from Niger came to my home to find out if I was okay. I thank God for the volunteers of the Red Hook Initiative who came to my house each and every day of the storm, who brought me cooked food, who wondered if I needed medication, took the list of what medications I was on, got in touch with my physicians at Methodist Hospital, and then went to the pharmacy to pick up my meds and bring them back to me. When I did not have the tools to keep my insulin cool, something that keeps me alive every day of my life, they were there bringing packs with ice in it to secure my insulin, something that I need to live every day. They also looked out for my 11-year-old autistic child. The thing that I know is that there is a building right next to mine with a lady whose son gets on the same type of buses that my autistic child gets on. This child is in a wheelchair. This child cannot run, hop, skip, jump, and get away. But there was no one there, not from housing, no one there for him. I once again will say, thank God for the Red Hook Initiative volunteers. They bought food, they bought flashlights, they bought blankets, they bought clothes, any and everything that a tenant needed, especially people with special needs children. If you put your friend's name down and they have a special need, Red Hook Initiative volunteers was there. They took care of everybody. And I thank God for them because they didn't have to.
Yes, hello, my name is June Clark Smith. I grew up in this area, went to school here. My mother taught here. My father, he was the transit, worked the transit down over here at 4th Avenue Smith at night. So he's always been a part of the community. You know, it's been, what can I say, I suffer from sickle cell disease. Couldn't stay in my apartment because it was too cold, my joints. Went to my mother's house, too much heat, can't turn the heat down. So then I'm dehydrated. So where do I go? So I go up to the church, work, help out with the aides that are here, Red Hook Initiative, people from Occupy Sandy and other organizations. Okay? I call your service, and your service says, that you're here to provide a clean, affordable, and working environment for the tenants of this development. Nothing works in the apartment. I still don't have any heat, you know. My bathroom is falling apart. Kitchen is falling apart, you know. And this is prior to the storm. Things that should have been done. I've been to court, back and forth, and still get half of a job done. Now, here we have Verizon out here. We have Time Warner out here. We got these lists up in the building talking about defacing property. I get time coming around my court, seeing an open box and cables hanging down. You know, that's defacing the property right there. Children can get hurt, you know, electrocuted or whatever the case there may be. And it did happen. A little girl did get electrocuted, by the way. I say, listen, they're here in our community. Let them be accountable as well. Let them set up a system for NYCHA, with NYCHA, to inform the people of the community. Let them give back. They have to be accountable as well. You know, you don't come in here and put your equipment here and then leave it here, and then you can do whatever you want with it. That's not fair to the people of the community. You know, I come outside, see that's all my grandchildren. That's the first thing I see. Boxes open, cable wires hanging out. You know, unsafe, not acceptable. It's time to make everybody accountable, even our politicians. Even our politicians. We voted. We voted. It's time to make them do what they say they're going to do. Enough is enough. I spoke to Lydia Vasquez. She told me a certain amount of dollars was allocated 2 summers ago to red up the gold green. Well, now it's time to spend that gold green money with new boilers, new generators, new heaters, or whatever needs to be done to fix the development. It's time to use that $1 billion that was allocated here. Stop sitting on it.
We can get your address for the issues at the table. You can actually get them listed. If you can let us know where those cables are, we'll be able to take care of those as well.
I had a couple of questions. I'm from the Legal Aid Society, and my first question is, you started to talk about distressed buildings, and I don't think you got a chance to answer that question, so if you can follow up on that, that'd be great. My second question is, you mentioned the abatements, and that would be a calculation based on what you determine is the days that people did not have the services, and that people will be able to challenge that, you know, based on if they think something, you know, doesn't add up. So I'm just wondering, like, if you're going to give more information about how you arrived at the numbers that you did. And my third question is concerning evictions and housing court and, you know, termination of tenancy proceedings, and what is your policies regarding that, if you can tell.
So three questions.
Sorry, okay.
First question on distressed buildings. So I don't think I said distressed buildings. I think I said we assessed all of the buildings, and we did not find structural damage in the buildings. So the buildings will not be condemned as we go forward. So that was that. On the assessment of the rent abatement, so we'll start from the beginning of the time that we were without services, which would be the day before the storm. And then we would go until either he, with the last service that was restored. So in some cases, heat was restored first, and hot water might have been last. Whatever the last service was restored, we would go through and count for that period of time.
So you won't give a full month for the expenditures that people went through? Because people did, I'm sorry, I'm also with the Legal Aid Society, and just to amplify on what my colleagues said.
Can I just finish three questions?
Well, if I can amplify, because I think it's relevant to the three questions, because you've already answered by saying you're only going to prorate it on days. People expended a great deal of money during what is effectively a whole month. And with all due respect, you already posted the rent bills while you can't make a commitment for minimum, which anybody in the private rental market would get, a full month's rent abatement minimally, commencing now. And within that, I want to know whether you're going to use this period if people are late or do not pay those rent bills for chronic rent delinquencies, because in case somebody doesn't know, and I think most residents do, you already commenced proceedings in housing court if people are late on their first month's rent. So you've already posted bills. There should be absolutely, emphatically, no one is taken to housing court until at least after January 1st. They should get a full month rent abatement, not a prorate. And it absolutely, this is the holiday season, people expended money, it should commence forthwith. So I would like to know, if nice that you're listening to the anger and the pain and the grimness that people experience, but what are you going to give
which anybody in the private rental market would ask for in a court or ask of their landlord, a full month's abatement, no eviction proceedings, and nobody who's late in the payment of rent, certainly having that used against them as a chronic rent delinquency. So I'm sorry, I'm just amplifying. Thank you.
So the rent abatement is going to be calculated based on the number of days that you're without those essential services. And as far as the December bills go, to the extent that people are challenged with their December payments, we're going to be considerate. We understand it's the holiday season. We're going to be considerate of everyone's individual needs as we go forward. And we'll address those issues as they come.
So you will start. So you can start non-payment. You can start chronic rent delinquencies.
So
you're going to do this on a case-by-case basis?
So to the extent that we're in a December 1st time frame, I don't think we're going to be taking people to eviction court for December 1st payment. I can certainly not going to do that. So I think I got your three questions, right?
Well, we didn't like the answer.
So we won't be starting those new proceedings at the beginning of December.
But you'll be fine.
That's less than a week from today.
We are being told whatever you feel is comfortable for us to be told, and we're telling you, no, we don't think it should be going that way. And you're still telling us, yeah, it is. We're not going to get nowhere like this.
Yeah.
We're not going to get nowhere. All these meetings that we're having, this lady just came to you and gave you rules and regulations and laws, and you ignored that and said, no, we're going back with the same way we said we were going to do. That's not going to work for us.
Has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.